As you can see, shortened abridged presentation. So I'll go straight into the topic without sort of introductory talk.
Dembar negative jadi dembar jurun pun dia naik boleh re. Tapi cuci itu jadi kor dembar union dah wujud. Cuci mana tu? Tadi kor cuci itu nanti mana? Kata raja ini jadi khati tu jadi terasa. Tiap orang orang sih kat sini sih gawat juga.
It's a time to participate in discourse by giving and listening to the discourse, and therefore my personal preference is when you teach, you teach. When you recite, you recite. And that's why I have done that. So when it's time to teach, and if you keep on chanting for a long time, I feel it defeats the purpose. And that's why I have really cut down to the bare minimum for the good of everyone.
My, that during ando dirisi ay di ka sina. Ando yee duma yee jira wde ligi duma na sing duma niya wde ta ligi duma tinie de nika nika tapang tinang jine de na wda ta lote jawa ko de tinie wongi.
So before we, I go into the text, I'd like to say our life is a fraught and beset with various suffering of body and mind, and the suffering of body while bodhifood to suffering of body and mind stem from karma. But incidentally, one's lifestyle can impact on the health, physical health, as well as aging, constant aging can also impact on the vitality of the body, therefore with the vitality lost in time, we are more susceptible to suffering. And mental suffering, again, primarily stems from karma, but also we are confronted with various kinds of situations that can affect our mood and thus our mind.
Tapi dunia dilihat dari dunia tiadalah, jadi dunia di mana tiadalah adalah, ini sih ini jadual waktu berhenti kita cari tiang itu sih suasana ini terjadi yang baru. Tapi dia ni ada konsen di sini tak mewah. Ini ada tinggi dunia de, ini tinggi poni ya, jadi dunia de apa jumpa hari itu, tadi mewah di sini baru.
So, another issue is how to relieve ourselves of our suffering and therefore free ourselves of our suffering. If it is physical suffering, then you know you can go to see a doctor, and the doctor will help address the symptoms. But the underlying causes of suffering may not be affected. And with regard to your mind, if one can develop a knack of developing mental or the willpower, then that willpower can also be beneficial in terms of overcoming physical pain.
And saying there was a
mental distress, simply dungil, mental you know, distress can only be addressed and overcome by mind itself. You can't, no physical antidotes can impact on the problems of mind. Out of 100%, maybe just 5% success. However, humans and therefore living beings tend to rely on outer or the external material conditions to bring about inner well-being for the mind in terms of eating food, and gathering physical resources, gathering circles of friends, and so on. So, it is not that these have no impact on the mind. The effect that these have on the mind is initial sense of a novelty, and sense of a novelty that the mind experiences coming into contact with these is taken to be mental happiness. Short of for temporary novelty, these do not give lasting happiness, because the mind is exposed to, whether the same people, the same food, the same resources, there's a diminishing marginal utility or experience. It's not that the more you eat them, the more you eat the same thing, the more the greater joy experience you get from these. So the Tibetan proverb, according to one Tibetan proverb, if you have gold, 100 kilo of gold, you have 100 kilo of suffering. Whereas if you only earn 5 kilo of gold, your suffering is proportioned to the size of the gold. So, using gold, the size of gold, is just an analogy. It can apply to all other resources that humans have. For example, if an individual person has one house, and if there is a problem with the house, the problem he or they experience problem with regard to one. If they have more than one house, let's say 5 houses, and all of a sudden all of them are leaking, then you know the suffering on the mind, the weight on the mind due to leakage of all the 5 houses is much heavier as compared to the leakage of the suffering due to the leakage of one house. So our suffering is directly proportionate to the amount of resources one has. Of course, people have resources, gather resources like houses, and houses are sought with a view to experiencing some kind of well-being, comfort. It's just that we don't weigh the costs and the benefits of housing, owning houses, and the problems of houses, problems that we suffer due to house. It's just that we don't do. If one properly weighs the costs and benefits of ownership of the house and the problems due to house, you know, it remains to be seen whether one enjoys more or has more problems because of them. For example, 2 years ago, I went to Tibet, and a lot of Tibetans in Tibet said, "Oh, the Dalai Lama is a very kind. Is very kind."
Yeah. 가르치니 저런 자르무쟁이 튀는 시험하니 인조 농신이 때만이 가르치니 가르친 분이 깨자지 아 만두 때 조언이 아니 밑에 쇼보드 아포드 리포드 아니 누구감지 세다 미에게 들리 뭔가 다 이마 떠고 다 소소를 팀해 있어 다 밑에다 빨리 쉬고 이 팀들이 소소 빠지는 거 나 가는 거 이렇게 깡 쉐이드 근데 다시 덮어서 뭐 쟁에 다 떼기 지지를 떠서 상대 야구 말을 했는데 그거 당시 매워서 나도 다 1년보다 넘인데 너 대신이 그러시고 누르는 척 봐 쟁에 그래 덮어서 보는 거 말해 아니 누구는 뭐 쳐야 되는 뭐 배워서 떼까지 전부 있는 거 아니에요
So, when they said his holiness the Dalai Lama is very kind, and I challenged them, saying, "How could you say that he is kind to you? You haven't had teachings from him. He hasn't come to you and given you wealth, resources. What has he given to you?" And they said, "Oh no, no, he still has. He is very kind." And I asked why. They said, "Prior to a decree issued by the Dalai Lama, that Tibetans should stop using tiger skin, animal hide, and and don't be so lavish in terms of putting on, so, you know, a lot of ornaments, ornaments in terms of a necklace, rings, and so on. We poor people have great difficulty. Whenever there is a social festivity, these people came, and since we had nothing, we found ourselves really poor, miserable in their company. Once the Dalai Lama told Tibetans in Tibet that they should give up all these habits of antiquity, practically useless. And therefore Tibetans took out all their tiger skin, Tibetan dress, burned them, everything. And they also stopped using lavish ornaments about themselves. Now that when we come together, everybody looks the same. So we're in a sort of classless, free. And therefore, they said to me, it was the Dalai Lama who made us feel good.
No,
So it seems that wealth not only causes problems for the owner, can even cause a lot of problems for the have-nots, who feel uncomfortable in the presence of a lavish, lavish ostentation. So, kiddingly say, if you have expensive cars you are driving, be careful about it now. So anyway, the long and the short of all that is, although we tend to rely on resources as a way of happiness, as means of happiness, but they do not give us lasting happiness that we seek. Instead, they end up causing a great deal of problem and distress. So, the mind really rules and governs how the body feels and how the body performs, its functions and so on. Let's say, prior to hearing a bad piece of news, you were at your best in terms of mental happiness. You are feeling good, elated, joyous. All of a sudden, when you hear a bad piece of news, and the news, you know, is the news impacts on the mind so profoundly that in that very moment, the state of the physical well-being that one was enjoying is gone. So it is because of this that Buddha said, I, as well as all other Buddhas, Buddha said of himself, I cannot remove and wash suffering of beings as you could wash clothes. And I cannot independently remove the suffering, nor can I, or neither can I pluck suffering of a body and mind of beings, like thorns, splinters can't be removed with the tweezers, nor can I transplant and transfer my realizations, my spiritual powers from my mind onto your mind, onto the mind of other beings. And yet I'm supposed to be helping you. How can I do that? There's only one option left. There's nothing else. And the way to help beings is to help beings to help themselves in by conveying the message of the truth of action and the truth of karma. So, by conveying the message, by communicating the message of the way of happiness based on experience of karma, beings will figure out what to do and what not to do. And therefore, it is quite clear to see that it is our own, one's happiness is in one's own hand. Nobody can take it from you or nobody can give it to you. So, talking about Sejik means devices or their methods which will help sentient beings or people overcome their suffering and free themselves from suffering with the fact is a tool. Tenpa means the teaching and Dukkha means the tenets, philosophical tenets. And Buddha said these two are important ways for people to see how to overcome suffering and achieve happiness.
Sung demba jeta, tu demba, demba tu tembo de jeta. Manuwa.
La.
Denba Eyewa. La. Denba Sung Denba Tungbo Shitang. Tuk Denba Tungbo. Tuk Manuwa Shi. Iyo de Song.
As for teaching, the teachings, as for the teaching as a way, as a methodology, as a way of happiness, is grounded in two things: the truthfulness of speech of the Buddha, and truthfulness of realization, the mental qualities of the Buddha. So, in our case, we have not been able to see that the Buddhist statements, Buddhist messages about their way of happiness was not believed, was not seen to be non-fraudulent, infallible. Rather, we were half-hearted about what Buddha said. At times, we might have even doubted what Buddha said. As a result, half-heartedness, doubt, then impacted our mind, rather than following the way of the truth. Based on eons of experience, we turned away from the way of the truth. We followed our own ignorant nose, as it were, and as a result, we brought suffering upon ourselves. If only we wake up to the power of truth of our Buddha's teaching, and take on board the teachings of the Buddha in terms of about how to achieve not suffering, of course, happiness and overcome suffering, then this will lead us to develop and achieve the truth of the power of mind. And the truth of the power of mind, and if we develop the qualities through practice of practicing the teaching based on Buddha's speech, then we will achieve, or the practitioners will achieve, a resultant state where peace, happiness will never diminish. In other words, one will be in a state of incessant well-being without any fluctuations at all. So, the way of the Buddha regarding happiness is the teaching and the philosophical views. As for the teaching, as I've just pointed out, teaching of the Buddha is characterized by the truthfulness of speech, truthfulness of mind, truthfulness of result, or a powerful Buddha's speech, Buddha's mind, and how if we follow, if we become truly apparent to one, the Buddha's words are infallible, we will find ourselves following, practicing, and as a result, realizations will dawn on our mind, and our mind will take on the nature of the truth. And that truth then leads to incessant experience of the result of well-being. So, regarding the truthfulness of Buddha's speech, which could also be now said, okay, you could use another word, Sung Tama means valid speech of the non-fraudulent, infallible, valid speech of the Buddha. I'll say that again. It is from the infallible speech of the Buddha that the three baskets of the teaching come from, stem from. The three baskets or the three categories of the teaching, namely Vinaya, which is about code of ethics, then Abhidharma, metaphysics, and the sutras or discourses. So, Deva means sukha, sukha means happiness and joy, is an effect. And such a positive effect comes more out of self-discipline, out of action born, action grounded in ethical self-discipline and self-control. For example, a school where students have self-control, not only are the school rules, but also they have inner reinforcement about the value of education. So such students will live within the rules of the school, the rules of the school geared at promoting education, learning, and growth. And in such an atmosphere, students prosper and they do extremely well. In the same way, for us to prosper in terms of our experience of happiness, it can't be grounded in haphazard lifestyle, ever changing. It has to be grounded in some discipline, self-imposed discipline based on the message of happiness of the Buddha.
所以，次度天地，从次轮天地，次高人从嘛，对的，然后让给他这个人，这不，那名利呢，啥名利呢？因为他的他玩，他玩呢，他就想把他玩呢，所以说这些超级次度天地，小娃子这个玩，这次你他们他，孙杰，孙杰给起来做了，次度天地，从次轮来做。
So Chusim is Tibetan word, Shila is Sanskrit word. What are Chu? Chu means the way. Tim means literally translating or translated. Tim means rule. So a set of action which is appropriate to the goal one aims at. So if one's aim is to be reborn a human, then one needs to abide by a set of rules, a set of action which will appropriately bring about certain effect. If one's aim is to go beyond the domain of mundane existence, then one needs to follow a set of action or course of training specific to that goal, and therefore the through higher trainings and so on. For example, humans, on top of meeting basic necessities of food, shelter, clothing, and so on, they seek greater happiness, but they find greater happiness when they receive recognition, honor from the society or from the members of society. Honor, respect will come to a human being when they live within the social constraints, social norms. And therefore, if only one observed the basic ethics of restraining from 10 negative deeds of 3 of body, 4 of speech, and 3 of mind, such a person is bound to be appreciated, bound to be honored, bound to be liked, loved by people in their immediate social context or in the wider social context. So, even the sense of the euphoria of being honored, being respected, although you don't do this for respect and so on deliberately, if only one has a self-control over one's behavior, restraining from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and the lot, then naturally everything good that is good for that gives the greatest satisfaction for humans will come to the person. So, let alone being reckless about 10 virtuous actions, or restraining from 10 unwholesome negative actions. Even if somebody commits one particular negative action, let's say sexual misconduct, or is being somewhat promiscuous, and then the moment other people hear about the news, that person who otherwise up until then might have been held in a highest esteem, highest regard, and idealized, loses public esteem and really fall from grace. And therefore, even by doing something like that, brings immediate fall from public grace, that has a far-reaching implications about your own self-worth, self-respect, and how you feel and about yourself. So, you know, bypassing, being or disregarding human norms of a decent society impacts even on this lifetime, not to speak of karmic consequences in the future life.
Yeah, consider all the letters because you share. You might be looking for it for that cool consider the mass choker. Rani, Toton, Mera. Sanon, Choyne, Doa.
Let's say somebody who, again, is, you know, well liked, respected member of the community, then they haven't been honest, unfortunately, and people come to know of that. And immediately, you know, they fall from public esteem, and they lose their status, they lose their privileges, prerogatives, and so on, immediate impact. And how would they feel, and how would they, how would they make their members of the family feel, and so on? So, breaking, okay, going against, you know, civilized norms, or the norms of a civilized society, is not only bad for this life, more important, what one does, and antisocial behavior, crime, and so on, ends up being, spiritually speaking, potent negative policies or action negative karma. And as a result, it will be very hard for such a person to have a bright future in terms of a higher existence as humans and celestial beings and so on. For one to come back as a human, humans are born from virtues. Human life is a result of some such virtues. If one has been reckless about one's lifestyle, one's action, and therefore being negative all the time, there's no way that one can expect a human life in their next life. So the basket of a shila or a basket of ethics is necessary ingredient or is necessary for not only in this life but more important for one to have the prospects of being reborn a human and so on. So then when we come back, we would like to be a human person, a human who is somewhat capable of doing something, contributing to the society. So good for one, good for themselves, and good for other people. So such ability, such competencies of being good for self and others, can be developed by way of concentration, by way of some kind of training in wisdom. So by training in concentration, training in some kind of wisdom will help one to acquire different forms of intelligences, and therefore this will be good for one. On top of that, if one practices love for immeasurables, the 37 wings of the Buddhahood, and then of course bodhicitta, then these will definitely make one's easily, and this will create so much room, so much space in one's heart for the welfare of others. In other words, one will become more and more selfless, and one will become more and more caring. And therefore, one who is selfless and dedicated member of society will directly help other people, or can help other people. And these are dealt by the second basket of teaching, concentration and mundane special insight. So, on the basis of decent ethics, one will be able to bounce back as a human. On the basis of development of some, concentration and special insight, one would, concentration brings tremendous, peace to the mind, and therefore mentally, psychologically, one will be really better off. But not permanently. Not permanently. For one, still one is susceptible to falling down, because one has not completely freed the mind from the underlying cause of all our suffering, despite the fact that with the concentration you give, you ease the pressure on the mind becomes calm and peaceful, but only temporarily. By practicing love and compassion, you become selfless, a sense of well-being, but only temporarily. So these remain only temporary measures. In order to free the mind completely and be in a state of unchanging, unyielding state of peace, we need to free the mind from a basic misconception. And that basic misconception is called grasping at self. Grasping at self means belief. belief system in the mind, a confused, yet unacknowledged as confused, a confused belief system in the mind, that everything exists in and of themselves, independently, intrinsically, independent of anything. Such a belief system may look harmless, but it has a far-reaching implications on coloring our perspective about how things actually are. And this has implications on how we see ourselves and all other things. We see them in a colored way. So to address this basic misconception called grasping at self, we need to develop a perspective called selflessness, a fresh perspective which sees things dramatically opposed to the way grasping at self, the ignorant, confused misconception makes us believe. And if we can develop this wisdom of selflessness, then, you know, it will really sever suffering, the root cause of suffering, as a source. And part of this wisdom is teaching of the Four Truths and the 16 attitudes of Four Truths, teachings on cause and subtle selflessness and so on. Such a teaching is shown and is enshrined in Abhidharma or metaphysics.
That is in the Sutta Sutta that is the Sutta of Jnanasan. That is Jnanasan Anikasa.
So, as I was talking to you before, the Buddha's way of helping us experience lasting happiness is two ways, teaching and the tenets. As for the teaching, as we had last Monday, teachings are again divided into two, scriptural and insightful. Scriptural teachings are the three baskets, of the three broad categories, ethics, metaphysics, and discourses called sutras. So, if one has access to this teaching, one has some scriptural teaching within one's own mind, within one's own mind stream. Scriptural teachings which can be, you know, guidelines for one's thinking, for one's behavior. So the second kind of teaching is called insightful teaching. Insightful teachings are nothing other than the content or the subject matters of the two baskets of the teaching. The broad subject matters of three baskets of the teaching are higher training in ethics, higher training in concentration, higher training in wisdom. If one has some degree of these in one's mind stream, one has insightful teaching. So one becomes the upholder of the teaching of the Buddha scripturally and insightfully as well.
Oh yeah, that means Dennis from the Tigi Jaja Lava from the Ranji Shay, maybe Kaza Jaja, Tawaji, and Shay, Nay Legro. That Tawaji Lady, Ranji Tawa Tatu Resum,
By exposing oneself to the scriptural teachings, meaning the three baskets of the teaching, and by living one's life, the subject matters of the three baskets, higher training in ethics, concentration, and wisdom, a person will develop two things. A person who has had rich, in-depth exposure or even immersion in the three baskets of the teaching and the subject matter will have two things, view and context. Such a person's life would be characterized by the guiding philosophy and the way they behave based on that philosophy. So, theory and practice of view and content. And now, the view a person forms based on the teaching of scriptural teaching with regard to different subject matters like the true truths and so on. And which the person thinks is the right view, and it couldn't be, and couldn't go beyond this, and reaches a limit in terms of the view, is called tenet, dukta. Duk means establish, ta means the limit beyond which the principle becomes intenable or untenable. So it has to work within certain perimeter, and so the belief system is contained within certain perimeter, and if the belief system goes beyond, then it becomes untenable for the mind of that person. So can it? So such tenets is now divided into two, non-Buddhist and Buddhist tenets. Non-Buddhist tenets of ancient India and or some ancient schools and Buddhist tenets. So, literally, so there are two. This is just an etymological explanation of outsider's tenet and insider's tenet. Outsider's tenet refers to non-Buddhists. Insider's tenet refers to the Buddhists. So, outsider's tenet is called outsider's tenet in that they hold the belief system that through changing outer things outside the person, somehow the person can achieve peace and happiness. It's called outsider's tenet. An insider tenets, Nangba, Nangba means insider. is a tenet system or the belief system that happiness has to be found from within. Outer circumstances, events, and resources have some impact, but not the real lasting impact. So the lasting impact for inner happiness comes from within by changing the agent of happiness, mind itself. So tonight, Geshe-la says, I will stop here, having briefly introduced the background, we're giving you the background of tenets, and why tenets are called tenets, and so on. So quickly recite number 19, the dedication one, please. Any questions, by the way? Yes.
Can you just distinguish a little bit more between the mundane insight of the sutras and the insight of the Abhidhamma?
Shiva, Kumala, Rapa,
디 님이 된 감 5만 원 예미 단 고마라 가자 초도 어떤 늘리 있다 늘리 고만 초도 된 근데 감 땡은 감이 토비 다 리 지용이 되와 도대체는 내가
사물
거라 방법 없음 근데 땡이 나도
So, as you have rightly pointed out, Raj, yes, there are, with regard to Vipassana, special insights, there are two, mundane special insights and transmundane special insights. Mundane special insight refers to a process of seeing. Okay, remember there are three realms, desire realm, form realm, and formless realm. And each of these realms has different levels of different plans of existence above. So a lot of people who practice concentration, they consider desire realm as experiences of desire realm, things of desire realm, very unpleasant. Whereas things of form realm is far better. The feeling of bliss and of on the body and mind is, you know, exceedingly superior to the sensual pleasures experienced by humans and more important by celestial beings in the desire realm. And those meditators think, oh, desire realm is ephemeral, short-lived, whereas the form, bliss of concentration of form is lasting. And indeed, you know, according to the description, if you're born there, you may last there for eons. And therefore they think, they see the lower realms as inferior, higher realms as superior, worthy of achievement. And to this end, concentration is practiced. To this end, some degree of ethics is practiced. And the realization that the lower realms are inferior, higher realms the better, and things you do accordingly are called mundane special insight. And then things of a formless realm are even better as compared to the formless, as compared to form realm and so on. Yet, you know, they are the upper tiers of a mundane existence. So now super mundane, super mundane, the question refers to understanding emptiness. Wisdom understanding emptiness developed in conjunction with the concentration of the first level of the form realm. The meditator is a mind, a person in the desire realm. The quality of their concentration is then as the person on the lowest rung of the form realm, where. So, with that concentration, if they develop wisdom understanding emptiness, then you have developed special insight.
This is a case called your pen and the same big is on the big, and you know, in the world, then go near. Go near your mother, you know, is 7 days, never to your mother. 이제는 대변 헌돈되기, 니몽 인지와 매워서, 니몽 사람이 제발 매워서, 사람이 시기, 땡쳐야지, 땡쳐서, 근데 그건 채워서 리얼을.
Okay, to make it simple, mundane special insights, only succeed in suppressing caused delusions. And indeed, when you are in the form realm, for example, as long as you are there, there are no cause delusions at all. They have completely in happy nation, etc., dormant. But the seeds have not been addressed. And once the life changes, they necessarily fall down to the lower realm, everything comes back. So whereas super mundane vipassana just try, okay, attempt to to deal with the root of all suffering, the root of all delusion, and once overcome, they are overcome unreturnably. So guess what? We are said to have achieved a mundane, you know, special insight so many times. We are said to have been in the upper realms and been there so long, again, since the seeds have not been burned, okay, so have come down, so up there many times, back down again, and so there's nothing so wondrous about it. Yeah.